Fred Film Radio, Vilnius International Film Festival, Lithuania.
Joining me at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday from Israel is director Danny Rosenberg, who's filmed The Death of Cinema and My Father Too, is part of this year's Vilnius Film Festival program. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for having me in the show.
So, all right, so we're going to be talking about your film, The Death of Cinema and My Father Too. I usually say a few lines to introduce the film, but I find it difficult to do so in this case because of just the nature of the film. So for our listeners who are not familiar with it, would you care to maybe say a few words about the story and, just to introduce it?
Well, so the film tells the story of a father and a son that try, because of the father's illness, to stop time, to prevent the father upcoming death. And they do so by using the power of cinema. That's generally the story of the film. You know, you can say that it's used the commentary and fiction, but the story is very simple. It's a father and a son, and those father and son are fictional character and also a real character, because it was my story and my father's story.
So this is very much inspired by your story.
Yes, my father passed away, and I tried to make a film with him. And after he's gone, I rewrite it as a fictional story. Yes,
it's essentially so a film that blends reality and fiction. Speaking about your relationship with your father, he was, I take it from watching the film, an influential person who actually helped you and inspired you to become a filmmaker.
You can say that. You can also say that I fight my way to become a filmmaker because he didn't, you know, he loved cinema. And I think my love for cinema starts by watching film with him. Actually, he was into the neorealistic until the 60s, new wave. The 70s, he was, because he himself grew up in Israel during the, you can say, the best days of the European art house cinema, you know, Bergman and Pasolini and Godard and Truffaut, of course. So he was into those kind of films.
Right, the art house stuff.
Yes, the art house, but you know, it wasn't considered art house during the 60s here. It's funny to imagine that people were fighting for tickets for a new Bergman film, but that was Israel in the 60s.
That's true, actually. That just kind of shows how dark, what a dark age we live in today, actually, because I'd take those films any day of the week. But just to return to your film, though, it may be difficult to kind of trace the lineage of this project, but what do you think was the origin of this film?
So it's been a long journey to make this film. But when my father told me that he has the cancer, I wrote a script for him. I wrote a script that tells a story about a man that understand that a war will start the same night with Iran and take his family and run away. It's like a comic, dramatic road trip about one Jewish family that escaped. That was the script. And I want this, my family, to take part in the film. Not only my father to play in it, but also my mother, my grandmother, my brother. Like, I made also short films with him, with my father and with my family. And I felt back then that, you know, to make a film together will somehow make the last days of him, and for me, more influential and more meaningful. We started to shoot, but after 2-3 days of shooting, my father came to me and told me that he was in pain, that he really feel bad, and I stopped the shooting. After I stopped the shooting, so I already bought camera, like a very good camera for film. And I try to shoot my father. I try to document my father, but he didn't play along at all. And I stopped those kind of attempts. I do shot my wife back then, that was pregnant. After a couple of weeks, my father passed away. What's happened then? that actually I already got a script and got some money from the Israeli Film Fund. So I told myself, okay, let's do the film. Why not? So then what's happened that I casted one of Israeli known and best actor, like a comedian, to play instead of my father in the film. And I made one day of shooting with him and my mother in bed together a couple of weeks after my father died. And it was so surrealistic and crazy and bizarre to see, you know, this very, very famous actor with my mother, that she didn't understand nothing about what happened. And I understand that, okay, I have to stop the shooting. I have to stop everything. And I rewrote the script completely, like from scratch. And I understand that actually I don't want to make a film about a hero that saved his family. I wanted to make this film because I want my father to be that hero. So I rewrote the script, and now in the new script I wrote, the script told the story about a father and son that tried to make a film together. Actually, the story of me and my father. So I rewrote it. We shot the film, and after we shot it, in the editing process, I understand that actually something is missing, like the center is missing. There is a lot of circles, but the center itself of those circles is not there. And the center was actually the original footage I have, like the original life, the real life. And then when I understand it, that the center could not hold, you can say, you know, without the original material. So I changed also the editor of the film and started to work with a new editor. After I worked with a great editor named Guy Nemes, he was the editor of Foxtrot, but I understand that I need a documentary editor also. So I started to work with Nili Feller. She is a brilliant editor. She worked on Vals with Bashir, for example. She worked on Nadav Lapid, new film. So we start together the process, and for 1 year we just play with the material, with the documentary and with the fiction, until we got this structure that is now the film.
Right, so it's a hybrid between the documentary and the fiction side of the film. And yes, so exactly. Do you feel that this was also a way for you to deal or confront your father's mortality?
Yes, of course. And in a way, because of, you know, this crazy, bizarre, hard year of the COVID, I feel that I'm still in the process of the film, that the film is not over, you know. And it's for me, it was a way to keep my father alive by working on the film, to process his death. Because, you know, I made the text with him by making audition to other actors that play him. I continue my conversation with him in another way.
So, Danny, earlier you talked about your intent, or one of your intents in making this film, being this wish to somehow freeze time. But do you think that cinema really has that power?
Well, obviously, I called the film The Death of Cinema and My Father Too as a way to say, as long as the cinema is alive, as long as we keep on rolling, so the father will not die. It's not the cinema, it's the process that they try to do together to make a film is a way for them to try to prevent the unpreventable. I don't know if this word is
exactly. The inevitable, yeah.
The inevitable. You know, cinema is not a magic. It's not a miracle, but we cinema lovers look at this as a miracle. Because it's the miracle in our life. I believe it also in your life. You know, for me, cinema, since I was a child, it's the only way that I understand, you know, the chaos outside, inside the cinema, inside the theater. So things make sense to me.
But when I think of just the very different layers and the many layers of this film, we talked about blending reality with fiction. Did you find it difficult to keep it all together? Because I am also asking this because at the end of the day, even though all of these different dimensions exist in the film, it retains that intimacy to it, which I felt was very important to you.
It was the most important thing. And in the beginning of the editing process, we tried to make it as a regular film. You know, we wrote all the scenes on cards. We tried to make this linear structure together. But very fast, we understand that we cannot look at this in a kind of a mathematic way. It's more like music. Because if on the paper scenes or sequences seems reasonable, they just didn't work. So we understand that we have to just, you know, throw out the papers and start to play with the materials until we will find a structure that will be solid, you know, and effective. So we just, I think really the word is a playfulness, you know, we just try to understand the balance by watching it again and again, and we invited people to many screenings because we find out that we can see the film through the eyes of other spectators that watch the film. We understand if it's work, if it doesn't, when it's a little bit fell down, when it's go up. So that's what we did. And, you know, Neely, that she's really like very, very, experienced editor, told me and still tells that that's the most, complicated project she ever worked on because there is no logic in it.
It's, you know, you mentioned the term playful, and I'm thinking that maybe some people, especially when you work in an industry like film, you know, you sort of forget to have that playfulness and maybe it becomes difficult, right?
Yes. And for me, but you know, I just saw before a couple of days, Radu Jude, a new film that won the Golden Bell.
Bad Luck Banging and Loony Porn.
Yes.
The improbably titled, yes. Bad Luck Banging and Loony, yes. Porn.
Yes. And I found out, you know, this film is fascinating. And I that's the cinema that actually, you know, in our days, I want to see those kind of films because I feel that the basic, the old school structure, it's sometimes I can, you know, you can, because maybe also the internet that just took over our life and the way we watch films or we just listen to stories in our days. So I look in films this kind of playfulness because you're not thinking in a narrative way anymore, I feel. You know, you're going, there are so many doors that you open all the time when you are involved in a story. And when creators give you this experience, like Radu Jude, for example, you know, so I feel that it's like the contemporary art that I want to see, that it's really reflect the zeitgeist of our time. And most of the films that actually now you can see in Netflix, it's like, it's the old structure, I feel. There is something a little bit archaic in it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Netflix either. I mean, I think that there's potential in Netflix, but as far as their productions go, it's very standardized, and that's not what I want to see when I see films. It's like
yes, exactly.
The McDonald's of cinema.
Yes, but from I want to say not because you know they are making great also great production and so on, but I feel that I also made some I wrote a little bit for television. And I feel that because I also find out that I have the skills to make narratives, so it's become so easy, like a mechanic, you know. And when I watch now a TV series, so I really like I see very fast the structure. You know, here is the plot point, here's the second plot point, here is the 10 minutes before the end. So you have to make some kind of a cliffhanger, you know?
Yeah, and usually a lot of montages just to fill the time, though.
Exactly. So I say, okay, so television will take the narrative, so we will win again, we will win the freedom,
right,
in cinema.
Yeah. But and you know, just I feel that when it comes to series, the series structure is afforded more repetition. It feels like sometimes I'm watching the same episode over and over. And if you were to do that in a film, it would be heavily criticized, because in a film, if you repeat one thing, that's a bad thing, in the mass audience's viewpoint. But this is a discussion that's very interesting, but it's moving us away from the film, which, yes, does really try to play with the form a lot, and it was well worth pointing that out. While I was watching it, I was prompted to consider, do you think that the nature of this film, blending reality and fiction, reflects the way in which people just experience life?
Yes, of course. And not people, but I can talk about myself. I don't know. Uh-huh. I blend life and cinema. I see my sometimes, and also I try to criticize it in the film itself. Because sometimes, you know, not only in this kind of part in my life when I try to make the film with my father, sometimes in other parts, I find out that I see myself as the protagonist of a narrative that I already know, you know, because I'm so much into this film world. So it's in a lot of, especially, hard time, hard periods of time in my life. And since I was, you know, I remember because also it's mentioned in the film, my father had very bad years regarding his business that collapsed. And I remember a lot of tension, you know, in the house. And I was then 9 years old, around this time. And it was in the time that Back to the Future, was just got out, Back to the Future 1 and then 2. And I saw Back to the Future, like, I'm not exaggerating, like, maybe 60, 70 times.
Wow.
In cinema, yes.
In the cinema, wow.
And because I had a friend that worked in the cinema, so I just came to see Back to the Future. And you know, I remember that when I was 8, 9 years old, I, like, imagine Marty is coming to me, you know. I really tried to look as my, because there were so many, like, yelling in the house and shouting and tension. And I try to see my life as a film with a happy end in the last minute.
Yeah, it's a good film.
No, it's an amazing film, and I think that also my interest in time, in a time lapse, and in going back and forward in time is also reflects in The Death of Cinema and My Father too. You can say it's some kind of a homage to Back to the Future, because that's what Marty want to do, you know. He want to make his father a hero.
That's interesting, yeah. And by the way, you know, as you said yourself at the start of the origins of this project, you were just about to become a father yourself, right? So
yes.
I'm interested to know whether you find that there were parallels between this important stage of your life and you working on this film, or if in any way you feel, given that fatherhood is an important theme of the film, whether working on the film actually helped you through this quote-unquote process.
I hope, you know, the time will tell, but I feel that you know, I also dedicated the film to my son, because I feel that for me working on the film and it was also understand what I am to become a father, what is the point that I want to do better, what is for me actually to take responsibility of someone else's life in the first time, because it's about fatherhood, but it's also about masculinity in a way. I don't want my son to grow up in kind of a toxic environment regarding masculinity that I grown up in. And not regarding also my only my father, that was, yes, very loving, but also very strong man. It was also, it is also regarding the Israeli society. It's, you know, violent and tough.
Yeah, that's interesting. Danny, so we've gone over the time and we'll have to wrap it up, but it's been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you. I feel the same.
Thank you, Danny. And I wish you all the best. I remind our listeners that the film is called The Death of Cinema and My Father Too. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.